right. Okay. Now, one thing I forgot to tell you about the plants. When you take them home, these pots do not have holes in the bottom. So they're very easy to overwater. So I recommend when you take it home, drill a hole in the bottom. I didn't want to drill a hole and have it drip all over your car on the way home. Okay? So take a little drill and drill a hole in the hole or two or three in the bottom. So put it on a saucer so that when it runs out, it'll collect the water and it won't get your car all wet and the plant won't drown. Very important, that part of it. Don't let the plant drown. So we're honoring women today. And one of the things that we do when we honor women is we think about their effect in our lives, the thing that they've done for us. And when we look at that, we look at our mothers. But I look at my sisters also. They have an effect in my life, and they've affected me in their lives and so on. And in fact, the plants are a product of my sister. She works in a greenhouse, so she brought me a whole bunch of these. And I thought, what am I going to do with a whole bunch of these? You can only plant so many pink polka dots in your house because they don't like the sun. They like the shade. Don't put them in direct sunlight. And I thought, okay, you can put them outside as long as it's in the shade, but they won't survive the winter. I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with these? So I got the pots, and you all get them. So like I say, take one when you go home. But we're supposed to, according to Scripture, we're supposed to honor our father and our mothers. In Exodus 20:12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord the God has given you. So honoring your father and mother comes with a blessing. Honor them so that you may live long in the land that God has given you. In Leviticus 19:13. Now normally, in Scripture, when you see stuff, it talks about your father and your mother. It says your father and your mother. Do this, your father and your mother. Okay, Leviticus 19:3. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So we're supposed to respect them all. But sometimes we say, well, you know, okay, father first, mother second. It doesn't matter. Okay, Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. I know my mother taught me a lot. She taught me a lot of how to be creative. We were dirt poor. We had 9 kids in a 2-bedroom house. Okay, we didn't have a lot of money for toys, so we made them. My mother taught me how to make a bow and arrow. Okay? Then I shot my brother in the head one day with it, and that was the end of that. Okay? But, you know, she taught me things like that. My mother taught me to cook. I like to cook. So by the time I was 12, I was cooking dinners for the family because I liked to do it, and she didn't necessarily like to cook that much. She taught me how to crochet. She taught my little brother how to crochet. He was better at it than I was. He crocheted a cover for his car. Big project. And that's the other thing. My parents never looked at gender. If I wanted to play with dolls, I had a doll. If my sister wanted to play with trucks, she had a truck. We went out in the dirt and dug around and all that stuff. There was no gender role in my family. I didn't realize that till later when I realized that I had a doll. And sometimes I played with it, and sometimes I drug it with my bike. You know? When I was a little older. Didn't have any hair because it got worn off. So we didn't have those things, but it says, listen to your mother's teachings. And mom, like I said, mom taught me a lot in different things. And Proverbs 20:20, if a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. In other words, what it's saying is, if you don't honor your father and mother, if you curse your father and mother, you're going to be put to death. You're going to have your lamp snuffed out. Exodus 21:15, anyone who attacks his father and mother must be put to death. And 17, anyone who curses his father must be put to death. It was very strict on honoring your father and your mother. In the things that you do. And so, not all of us have had parents who could or would love you the way you needed wanted to be loved. That's our nature. Some of us are more loving than others. Some of us have things that go wrong. Some people get caught up in addictions, and they can't. They can't break free from that addiction. I performed for a funeral for a guy who was that way. He got caught up in drugs. And he came here for a while when he got out of prison because he got caught in the bad habits. And he and I were talking one day, and he said, "The only good thing I've done in my life is my children." And I got to tell his mother that at his funeral because she didn't know. And so you have to honor your father and your mother. And one of the things that we look at, why do we so often refer to God as He, our Father, He? Why is it our Father, He, instead of our mother, she? Well, in going back in history and look at the reasons why, when the scriptures were written, Israel lived in a pagan society. They came out of Egypt, where there were all kinds of fertility cults. And who were the gods of the fertilities? Women. And so God said, "I don't want you to be like them." Remember, Moses wrote the first five when he was old. So he'd experienced all this stuff, Egypt, all that stuff. And so God says, "I don't want you to be like them. Don't do the things they do." So in those fertility cults, the gods were women. So we had a patriarchal society because we were to be different from that culture. The truth is, God's asexual. God doesn't have a sexual orientation because God doesn't have sex. And sex is defined a lot of times by our roles. And so God is God. When Moses asked God, "Who shall I say I am? Who shall I say sent me?" God says, "I am that I am. Don't put labels on me." Like, oh, okay. So that's one of the reasons that we look at that and why God is referred to as a male. But when you read scripture, you can see that God sometimes takes on a female attribute. He, in the comparison, he'll say, like an eagle who teaches her young to fly, or a hen that covers over, broods over her young by spreading out its wings. Different things like that. And in that female characteristic. And so it's one thing. But we're so used to God the Father that it doesn't bother me. Does it bother anybody that we call God Father? When I was going to school, some angry people that I was in school with, it did. And I always thought, because they had fathers that abused them. But I know people, I have friends also whose mothers abused them too. But it's just one of those things. But, you know, we go through scripture, but we find in the scripture that there are a lot of women, prominent women, who did things in their lives. One of those was a lady named Abigail. How many of you know who Abigail is? Nobody. Oh, good, I get to tell you something new. Abigail was the wife of this guy, and I forgot his name now, Nabat, and he was just a jerk all over the place. And David, when he was in the wilderness, Nabat had this land, and David's men, when they were in hiding, they kind of circled around this guy's land, and they protected it. They kept things from wandering off. They kept robbers from coming and stealing their property. They kept his land basically safe. When harvest time came, David sent messages to him. He said, "You know, we protected you all this time. Give us some of your wealth, your produce, for us to share and to live on and survive on." And he refused, insulted David, in fact. And so David said, "You know what? I don't need to put up with this. We were worthless to do all this stuff. We'll just go take it." And so Nabat's wife, Abigail, she hears about this. And so she takes things into her own hands. She goes out and she prepares 100 cakes of raisins, 100 cakes of dates, so much of this, so much of that, and so on and so forth. And then I'll pick up the story there. It says, as she came riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, there where David and his men descended to warn her, and she met them. David had just said, "It is useless, all the watching over this fellow's property in the desert, so that nothing of his is missing. He has paid us back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male in all who belong to him." David's mad. He's headed out, right? When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and she bowed down with her face to the ground. She says to David, When you sent your people down to talk to my husband, I didn't see them. I didn't know this was happening. I only saw it through my hands, my servants. So here I am. I brought all of this to you. Please, don't spare us. And so David consented, and he spared her and the family. She took the initiative to save her family. Have we seen instances of that in this world, in our time? Yeah. I worked with a lady at the hospital, and she and her wife adopted a couple of kids from families that were just riddled with problems, and gave them a good home. We see people doing that, and here Abigail did that. She took the initiative, and she says of him, his name is Fool, and folly goes with him. But as far as me, my servant, I do not see the men that you sent. And so we find different happens. How many even know who Hannah is? Wow, striking out today. Hannah was a woman who was married to a husband, and she didn't have any kids. He had two wives. The other wife was having kids, and she would make fun of Hannah. Every year they would go to the temple, and Hannah would pray, and she would fast. And he always gave her more than the other wife, than Penah. And so Hannah would cry, though. One day she was down at the temple, and she's crying, and she's praying. But she's not praying out loud. She's just, her mouth is moving. And the prophet, the temple prophet, sees it, and he says, when are you going to give up the booze and the beer and the wine? And she goes, I'm not a wicked woman. I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I'm hurting. I would like a child. And he says, well, may God grant that to you. They went home, and sure enough, she had a baby. And when he was weaned at 3 years old, she brought a young baby, young boy, she brought him back to the temple because she dedicated him to the Lord. And every year, she would take a new robe down to him because he was outgrowing them. And the Lord one day called him, and his name was Samuel. After the books of 1 and 2 Samuel are named after him. And he became a great prophet because Hannah went to the Lord in faith. Went to the Lord in faith. And if you put Matthew up there next, the next scripture, it names off some names that just my mouth won't do. Okay? So when we get down to chapter verse 5, those are the names. You can read them, can't you? Okay, next slide. Solomon was the father of Boaz. Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. How many of you know Rahab? Two. Two? Do I hear three? Rahab was a hooker. She was a harlot. She lived in Jericho. When the spies spied out the lands, she took them in, hid them, sent them out and got them away safely for her life to be spared, her family's life to be spared. So here she was. She was a hooker. So we go on. Let's see. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. Oh, we skipped somebody in there. Rahab. Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She was a foreigner. Remember, Naomi and her family had moved off because they were having a famine. And they moved to Moab. And the men died. So Ruth and Naomi came back. And Ruth was a foreigner. Now, think of that. This is David's lineage I'm talking about. But Jesse was a foreigner, okay? David was had a son named Solomon by who? Bathsheba. He had an adulterous affair with her, and she became pregnant. And Uriah, she was married to Uriah, and David had Uriah killed and later married her. So you have these women that are tainted by our standards in David's lineage. But further down the line, when the 12 are going around, you have Tamar, who was the daughter-in-law of Judah. So they had all these things that were going on, and there were women that were very, very, very influential in the lives of people. And that were there. Those are some of the ones from the Old Testament. Another one was Deborah. How many of you know Deborah? Oh, wow. We better have some more Sunday school classes. Deborah was a judge in Israel. Men were the judges, but Deborah was a judge. She sat at the city gate. She heard the cases. And they needed to go to war against the Philistines. So she went to Barak, and Barak said, I'm not going unless you go with us. She says, okay, but when we win, it'll be credited to me and not you. And he says, I don't care. So they go into battle. They're winning. The king of the enemy takes off, and his name is Wasarich. And so he took off and hid out, and he comes to a tent of Jael. And Jael greets him. She says, oh, come on in. She brings him in. She says, are you tired? Lay down. Let me give you, he says, I'm thirsty. So she gets him some warm milk, gives him the milk, and he falls asleep. And being the lady that she is, she goes over, picks up a tent peg and a mallet, and goes over, and she drives it through his skull. And he dies. When Barak comes along, and he's looking for her, she goes, oh, come on in. He's right in here. Help save the battle. Okay, so those are some of the women in the Old Testament. There was one other, H-E-L-D-A, Helda. Helda was a prophetess. The king sent to this prophetess to find out what God wanted him to do. So she told him. The prophets are all men, but not this time. They did all those things. We get into the New Testament. Luke 8, 1-3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, that's because that's where she was from whom 7 demons had came out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. These women were helping to support the 12 and Jesus out of their own means. In other words, they had money. They traveled with Jesus, which then would have been scandalous. Women traveling with men. Married women traveling with men. But they did it. They were brave. At the crucifixion, who was there? Same women. They were there watching. They were there to take care of Jesus at the tomb. Who were they? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary of Magdalene. Mary, a lot of Marys. Mary, the mother of James and Joses. And Salome, the mother of James and John. They're the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. In the New Testament, you had Lydia. She was a dealer in purple. She was a businesswoman. She held the church in her home. They held church meetings in her home after she was converted. There was Priscilla and Aquila. They traveled around with Paul and took part, and they taught. When they were in the upper room, who was there? Mary, the mother of Jesus. When they all started speaking and praying in tongues, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. There was Philip's 4 daughters who were prophetesses, and they prophesied. So all throughout Scripture, women were very prominent. So it's a good thing to celebrate them. Next month, we'll celebrate Men's Day. But for right now, we want to honor women and mothers in our lives. Now, do any of you have any particularly interesting or fun stories about your mom that you'd like to share? Okay, speak loud.
Sunday mornings, was it one day we got to Saturdays and Sunday mornings, she let us watch cartoons and have a whole bowl of cereal sometimes. Most times she did hot breakfast for us.
Okay. Now, in the church, we have women leaders from 1993 to 93 to 97, Cindy Solomon was the pastor here. And she was pastor for 3 years, and she moved back to the East Coast. The only pastor we've had here, but Debbie Brown, she was like a district coordinator. There's women in clergy all over the place. The head of the local Episcopal Church group, the big group, is Tanner, and she's like wealthy. Somebody asked her why she did it. She says, for the money. Yeah. She's got more money than probably the Episcopal Church in the area. But women are prominent. And we've had leaders in government. Dede Cordini was the mayor of Salt Lake. Different people like that. And right now, Jackie Biskuski, I can never say her name, Biskuski, she's the mayor of Salt Lake City. and, you know, leading like that. And she's very nice, and she's openly gay. So, you know, that's the other thing. Now we have people that are like us in government positions, and it's okay, and it's cool. And more people on television, like newscasters and stuff, are coming out, and that's really neat. Who was a big leader in the first part? Rosa Parks. But why was she a big leader? Nobody knows why Rosa Parks was a leader? Huh? Yeah, they told her to move back to the black section, and she said no. Not giving up my thing. She was a leader of the civil rights movement. Yeah, big time leader in the civil rights movement. And so different things that are going on right now and what's going on back in Congress. A lot of the senators and elected officials are women. And they're taking very active parts in this. You know, so women are very important. And right now we have a scarcity of you here in the audience. You know, part of that reason is because some of the women that are here are normally now off seeing their mothers or visiting their mothers. But like, you know, some of you are like me, you've lost your mother. But that's okay. You can think back about the times. Are all the times going to be wonderful? No. But I remember a time when my mother was very decisive. My dad liked to fish. And he told my mother one day, on Friday, that he was going to go fishing after work. Mom said, fine. 10 o'clock comes, no dad. In the morning, no dad. All day Saturday, no dad. Sunday, about 4 o'clock, dad comes rolling in. Comes up to the back porch. There's all of his stuff stacked there. And she goes, where you been? He says, fishing. He goes, did you tell me you were going fishing for the whole weekend? No. She goes, good. Make up your mind right now. Either you let me know where things are, where you're going to be, so I don't worry, or you just take your stuff and put it in the car and leave. Okay. Dad never did that again. Mom was very quiet. Dad pretty much had to say, unless. One day my dad accused me of lying, and my mother turns around. She was washing dishes. She turned around and she goes, shut up. You don't know. You weren't there. And my dad was coughing, and he grumbled, and she said, and if you're going to smoke, you're going to hack. I don't want to hear about it again. He threw his cigarettes away, and he never smoked again. When I was in high school, I got kicked out one day. Not my fault, of course. So I walked home, and I get in the house, and Mom goes, what are you home for? I says, I got kicked out of school. See, that's one thing Mom and them taught us to tell the truth and deal with it. And I said, I got kicked out of school. So I told her the situation. I had been kicked off the bus, and so I was trying to get to school early. So you won't relate to this at all, but back when I was a kid in the 60s, you had to have your shirt tails tucked in. There was a dress code. And so I was hurrying. I forgot to tuck my shirt tail in. Hadn't combed my hair. My friend's mother picked me up and dropped me off, happened to see me and picked me, gave me a ride to school. So I got there way early. So I go in, and I'm going in the bathroom. I'm combing my hair, and I came out, and I just looked down and went, oh, I haven't done my shirt tail. And Davis, the counselor, grabbed me. I told him what happened. He goes, yeah. He says, there are rules for a reason. He basically called me a liar when I told him that, you know, I was running late. But the kicker was, he says, now what would happen if I decided to drive on the other street side of the street when I left to work today? I said, hopefully you'd get killed. I was known for my tact. So I get home, I tell Mother, I scrape her off the ceiling. We put her back in the car. She takes me to school. We walk in the office, and my mom hardly ever swore. But she walks in and she goes, where's that Davis? And the secretary just kind of looked at Mom, and the vice principal was right there, and he comes out and says, can I help you? I was back in school right away. You know what made her mad? Because he called me a liar. And she goes, my kid doesn't lie. I'm like, okay. That was it. And that was the way it was. My sister, I had a younger brother than me, and my younger sister, Judy, when she was in high school, they were out sloughing. They were in the parking lot, and they got called. There were four of them. And they took down the names, and we're going to go call your parents. So they took down their names and the phone numbers, and they got to my sister, Judy, and they goes, "Have you got a brother named D and a brother named J?" And she goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I'll deal with you later." And it was like, Judy thought, why isn't he calling mom? Well, he learned that my mother told them, if there's a problem, you deal with him. If he doesn't listen, then you call me and I'll deal with him. So they never called my mother about anything they had to deal with. They just dealt with it. She had what she had, her penalty she had to do. And she knew that if she didn't, then he would call mom. And mom would deal with it. So you can, moms don't have to be weak. My mother was not. I mean, like I said, only a few times in my life before she got the strokes, I remember my mom swearing. That was one of them. But you could probably come up with things like that about your mom, situations that happened that were funny. Because more than once, the police grabbed me. My little brother Jay, he was part of a kegger group. They used to drink, and they'd go different places. And my dad says, "You just better be careful. Don't be calling me at 2:00 in the morning to come bail you out of jail." Sure enough, they got busted, and they wanted to know who they were. And he says, "I won't tell you." He wouldn't tell him who he was or anything. He says, "I'll tell you in the morning, but I'm not telling you now. Because if you call my dad now, he'll kill me." So they did call my dad. It's because his friends told on him. And dad came and got him at 2 in the morning. And Jay says, the only thing he said as they walked out to the car, he says, "You need to learn to be careful." That was it. Okay. Mom would leave the back door open because sometimes down in the woods behind our house is where they had their keggers. She left the door open so that they could come in and sleep without having to drive home. Because she says, "I'd rather have you drunk on the floor or someplace than dead on the road." One night, she heard somebody come in, thought it was Jay, because they went in the bedroom. Morning, she got up, it was one of his friends. Like, "Oh, hi, you want some breakfast?" Fixing breakfast, and he went home. So parents are extremely important in growing up. Not everybody had good parents, unfortunately. And those leave scars that sometimes we deal with for years. But usually, even in the midst of the worst, we can find something good. And that's what I encourage you to do today. Look for something good about your mom, because there was always something good. There's always usually something good. Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, I thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for everything there is. All that you have created, all that you've done, for laying down your life for us. Because, Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need our parents. We need our friends around us. But most of all, we need you to guide us, to direct us, to take us down the right path so that we get where we need to be. And, Lord, you trust each one of us and you love us. Help us to know that love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.